Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my sister-in-law, Lovelace Howard. And Lovelace, I'm just delighted to have you in the studio. Would you be willing to start out by telling us a little bit about your background? I'd like the listeners to know who it is we're talking with.
I was born 55 years ago in Birmingham, Alabama, and my parents became Christians just as I was being born. So I was brought up in a home that was excited about the Bible and learning to pray and to trust God. I went to a high school, a Christian high school in Florida, where I fortunately met your brother Tom, and then on to Wheaton College. And after that, I went to Japan as a missionary with the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, thinking I would be there most of my life. But the love I had had for Tom all those years ago in high school and college seemed to be real and authentic, and in his time, God brought us together again, and at the tender ages of 30 and 31, we were married.
Well, I remember that wedding very well, Lovelace, and I remember when we got to the airport, there were some people out there still wanting to throw rice, and I remember Lovelace saying, "Now, come on, y'all, just remember that I'm an old bride." And I think you must have, had you just begun wearing contacts or
yes.
something at that time? And I think you were afraid you were going to get rice in your eye
Probably.
Or something. But I think, when I think of Tom and Lovelace and how God brought them together, it is really one of the miracles that I've seen with my own eyes, because Tom didn't pay a lot of attention to you
right.
in college, did he? I mean, you
No.
were just two little high school kids together, and at that school, there wasn't exactly a whole lot of dating going on. So what happened in college?
Well, let me tell you about high school. We did
okay.
have one date in which we walked to church and sat after church in a patio talking. And I consciously thought to myself, I could talk to this boy the rest of my life. And I sometimes think he must feel sorry that I have been doing so.
I think you've been listening quite a bit of the time, too.
At Wheaton, somewhere in my sophomore, junior year, I've lost track of it exactly, I realized that the evenings we spent at the home of Keith and Rusty Hunt of InterVarsity were of particular delight and attraction to me because Tom was there. I think I really began to love him that year, but we didn't date, and there was no declaration of any kind of particular attraction for each other. In the depth of my heart, I felt that he was God's will for my life, but we parted at the end of our time at Wheaton with Tom, I think, faithfully and in a manly way, making clear to me that he didn't see it that way or see any future for us. It was the hardest experience I've ever had, but a definite experience of God's everlasting arms being around me. And I went on my way, trusting that I'd just made a mistake.
What was the next step after Wheaton?
I went to Africa to visit a friend of mine, Eleanor Vandervoort, and read the old books about Hudson Taylor and had confirmation of God's leading me to the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, which had been the China Inland Mission. I was quite sure at 23 that I didn't want to spend my life on the frivolous and surface activities that seemed the alternative. I wanted definitely to put my life into something that would matter. The verse, "The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever," had got hold of my heart very young. And that's what I wanted. And the Overseas Missionary Fellowship seemed a hospitable place to me. and I respected the wisdom and judgment of those people, and if they confirmed God's call to me, I felt confident to go forth with them. And Japan just opened up to be the right match for me.
It's interesting, your description of what you call God's call to you. The fact that when you said very young, you were captivated by that verse, 1 John 2:17. But how young?
I don't remember when I didn't know it, but I would guess somewhere between 10 and 15. There were no babysitters when I was little, so I just trailed along with my parents to Bible classes and sat on the front row and marked my Bible all my childhood. No one trying to stuff any particular doctrine in me, just taking the fallout from it. But verses like that did sink in.
Now, there must have been quite a difference between your set of values and those of most of your friends in Birmingham. Is that true?
Yes, but life was much more innocent in those days than it is now. I went through high school not as a particularly separated Christian in the beginning, without any dangers of falling into any serious sin. We just were young, and I studied hard and loved my studies, and I loved my friends and felt very responsible in my friendships. But there was something in me that said, don't get too involved with boys, not just physically. I wasn't even expecting to do that, but even with affection. Save your heart from God. I think in some ways I overdid it. I had very little adult counsel on this. So that when I did fall in love with Tom in college, it was overwhelming. That was not part of my plan at all. I definitely was confused over how you could love God and a man at the same time. I thought I had to be Amy Carmichael, or at least a single lady missionary, if I was going to love God with my whole heart. This was all of a jumble to me, but it kept me for God.
I think of the gallery of pictures in the second floor of your house. Loveless is a beautiful woman. Loveless was an absolutely captivating girl. She looks like a movie star with her hoop skirts and beautiful gowns and pictures of her with very handsome boys in tuxedos and whatnot. So I'm sure that you must have had a very, shall we say, busy social life, or at least the possibility of an awful lot of just fun and, as you say, innocent kind of fun. But still there was that deep heart desire to do something that was going to last a whole lot longer than the parties. Can you tell them anything about my father's prayers?
Oh, yes. Just before I came home from Japan, Arthur Glasser, who was my boss by being the home director of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, wrote to me a letter and suggested that Tom Howard and I should get together when I came home on furlough, because he and some of the people in the mission had been praying about us. And I found out, after nearly falling over backwards when I read that letter, that Tom's father, who was on the board of the mission and had interviewed me when I was accepted into the mission, had been praying that Tom and I would marry each other, and evidently had shared his prayer request with Dr. Glasser, who had shared it, in turn, with some of the praying ladies of the mission.
That's news to me. I didn't realize that my father had been one of the ones that had interviewed you.
Yes, he was there.
I've told the story about the fact that my father began to pray that you and Tom would get together, but I wasn't really clear as to how he knew you.
I think he knew that Tom and I had been friends in college. I'm sure that your mother knew it, because when she came to pick him up that day at the mission after the interviews, she asked if I could come down and speak to her. And I'm sure that Tom was aware enough of me that he had at least talked to her about me at some time. So they knew I was a friend of Tom's from college, and here I appeared on this roster of possible new missionaries. And I think it was from that time that he probably was praying about it. And he died before he knew that we were getting together.
Yeah, I often think of that as such a poignant fact that, really, humanly speaking, there was no way you were going to get together, because my brother Tom was a teacher in a boys' school in England, and there you were in Japan. And here was my father believing that somehow or other God was going to get you together. And he did just that. But as some of our listeners may remember, I've talked quite a bit about this whole business of courtship and talked about my courtship with Jim Elliot and my book Passion and Purity. And I've gotten a lot of letters from people who are so confused about that. And I've always said that I think one of the most important elements is prayer, not only the prayer of the woman who may have fallen in love with a man who's not in love with her or vice versa, but the prayer of parents for their children. And since we're going to be talking in the next few days, particularly about raising children and teaching children to pray, so you spent how many years in Japan?
4.5.
In what part?
I was in Sendai for 1 year studying, and then I went to Sapporo, and I kept studying. But I did have the opportunity to be basically in charge of a small church that met in our home. And I learned what I needed to learn, which was to see people who were not believers start from scratch, hear the gospel for the first time, and come to know the Lord and follow on. I had lived among Christians mostly, and my faith was renewed and strengthened by having this opportunity to see people really come to know the Lord. Even though that has not been what I've done the rest of my life, I wouldn't be the same without it.
Well, I hope you'll have a chance to come back and listen tomorrow to my sister-in-law, Lovelace Howard. First name is Lovelace. We call it Lovelace, but it's spelled Lovelace. And she's going to be talking to us about training children.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.